It's time for Alaska Realty Today on KFAR Radio. A look at real estate and property management in the Great Land. Alaska Realty Today, brought to you by Next Home Arctic Sun Realty. Now your hosts, Kirk and Lisa Maynard.
Welcome to Alaska Realty Today. I'm Lisa Maynard.
And I'm Kirk Maynard.
And today we're lucky to have three-tier Alaska visiting us, and we're going to discuss surveys and also a number of other services their company provides to us in Fairbanks.
Thank you, Lisa. Thanks, Ryan, for coming in. Sure appreciate it. And kind of short notice there, too, so appreciate you taking your time.
Glad to be here.
Yeah, so we're just talking off the air how this came up, and last week we were talking about new construction and the pros and cons of new construction versus existing homes, and we got into the new construction addendum, and one of the closing costs was who's going to pay for the updated plot plan. So it got me thinking that I think a lot of professionals and the public don't know the difference between an as-built, a survey, a plot plan, the difference of those, and then I'm sure there's different types of surveys that are out there. And I think our office hasn't even had a surveyor for many, many years.
It's been like 3 or 4 years since we brought anyone in.
Good education for everybody, so thanks for coming on.
Yeah, thank you. Yeah, those are all great topics, and for everybody to know, we see them maybe not every day, but often that people incur these challenges of what's a quote survey that to us when somebody calls and says we need a survey, that we're like, okay, that could be like 20 different things for us.
So, and we get realtors, you know, they text me, hey, did you order the plot plan? Hey, did you order the as-built? Hey, did you order the survey?
And they use the terms interchangeably.
Yeah, that's my point.
Without
can we start there? What's the difference?
Sure. So mostly when, you know, a realtor or a seller calls and they say they need a quote survey, we know that there's a good possibility that they need what the term known today is a mortgage location survey. The synonymous terms that or the vernacular that people throw around are plot plans. I think that's kind of like a 70s kind of term, slang term, and an as-built survey. Those are sort of the historical terms, and in essence it is an as-built survey. But we have these mortgage location survey standards that came out, I believe, in 2015, that we make sure we have an agreement with the banks and the realtors, for that matter, to make sure we measure certain things with a certain level of understanding of what those improvements are relative to. And generally, the people that use those surveys are banks, lenders, and it's actually in the best interest of the buyer to get these mortgage location surveys so that they don't get caught with the hot potato. So if you do have an encroachment or, something into an easement for that matter, then it becomes your job to fix it.
You are fully aware, because through our years, we've run into some interesting things.
So, and let's talk about that, because two things jump to mind. One, a subdivision. Oh, this is back in the 2000s. I can't remember. But we did one survey, and I know the former surveyor didn't. It was pre-GPS. Yes. So GPS might have just come out anyway. They went out and located the corners, and this whole subdivision up on Chena Ridge went from like parallel lines
it was like a hexagon angles to all supposed to be straight, so everyone's septics were on each other's property.
Oh, and we had to move cabins, and just all the lot lines shifted from what people thought they were, and it was a hot mess there for a little bit.
Because we ordered it before we were closing for the new buyers, and that's when the whole subdivision found out that the whole thing was wrong.
Right. Yeah, I've encountered something similar to that as well. I don't know if I should talk about exactly where, but
we keep it a blurry.
It has happened before where, the surveyor in, let's say, the 70s, you know, they're working with this instrumentation that, you know, they're turning distances and angles. And, back then, you know, it was fairly easy to slip a digit and turn the wrong angle, and your paper plat says one thing, and the property corners that are on the ground is another thing. And it's really hard, unless you have these fancy pieces of equipment, to measure all these things out and know exactly what's what and what it's relative to and what to do when you do find errors that were made. So,
and we even came across, within city limits, a block near our office, we were getting an updated because they had built an addition at a deck or something we knew was needed to be addressed. And found out that three blocks on, I think it might have been Eureka, all the lot lines were wrong. Mm-hmm. And they had to, the city handled, it was a city thing because it was from years and years ago, but mm-hmm. they had to inform everyone and tell them, hey, no, your fence is actually going to have to at some point be here. And they did all the rigmarole and took care of everything, but no one had caught it up till right. then. And it was, and I mean, that was like in 2016.
I was gonna
and
say,
these
yeah,
are 1954 houses.
Yeah, it's in the mm-hmm. last five, 10 years.
That was interesting.
So since the 2000s, since that occurred, I've made it an office policy that anything pre-GPS you cannot use. We won't close a file with it. I'm not going to pay you. It has to be updated unless you have something in writing by both parties saying they're adamant about not having one, not wanting to pay for one. They both agree to it. Otherwise, it's just bad for everybody. It's bad for the buyer. It's bad for the seller. It's bad for all parties involved. So it's insane not to have a new survey. Don't cheap out and not get one.
Right. I'm even guilty of accepting a plot plan when I closed on my house. 10 years ago, my realtor at the time said, "Oh yeah, just." Here's your old plot plan. It's, just sign right here and accept it." And I was like, "Well, wait a minute. There's like an additional building here." And that was really the only thing I could see at a quick glimpse, even though I do these all the time. And I actually just resurveyed my lot just this last summer. And I'm comparing the two side by side. And I'm like, wow, there's actually quite a bit difference. There's a 2-foot error in the distance from the houses. And, the previous surveyor, it may be no fault to them, maybe because I think only one of my property corners were in, so perhaps he used some other form of survey control. Maybe he found like some nails or rebars that, didn't quite line up very well, that were pretty far away, give him the benefit of the doubt there. But anyways, it was quite a bit different, just to say it bluntly. And yeah. That was only a difference of maybe like 12, 14 years or something like that. And the house, the quote-unquote, the house hasn't moved. Well, in my case, it did.
And when Stewart Title came in and rolled out that they're not going to close any files pre-2006.
And by Stewart Title has merged with Yukon Title, to not confuse some people that aren't spending a ton of time at title companies.
thank you for clarifying that. And they came in and gave an example where they had a survey, and then 2 years later they did another survey, and it was off.
We had a property, and this one was, the survey was correct, and everyone was using the survey because we sold the gentleman the house like 2 years before. He put a new septic in. They used the survey, and then the next people next door had an older survey, and it became in dispute because the surveys were in conflict,
mm-hmm.
and then they were arguing about septic lines.
Mm-hmm.
And that was an interesting one to go through. But we got it all straightened out, and everyone figured out and realized that the one that was using more current technology was the better one to look at.
Right. And I think even though, we're using these fancy GPS equipment that is able to give us, hundredths of a foot levels of accuracy, and there's no real chance of busting an angle like I mentioned earlier, there's still other possibilities of error with the GPS. But we have protocols to keep things accurate. We have a levels of redundancy that we do. Like we get more than 2 shots, let's say, on a house. We only really need 2 shots, but we get a minimum of 3. We also get a minimum of 3 property corners to, analyze the relativity of those. And, there's other things that we look out for that, we live in Fairbanks, Alaska. Sometimes we have frost heaving of the property corners. Mm. We have people roaming around with snowplows and dozers like nobody's business.
Yes.
And they I swear, they aim for these things. And, they bump them, they take them out completely. And it's not uncommon where, property will only have, 1 or 2 of their property corners that were initially set, let's say, even 20 years ago. Because they've built a driveway nearby or a road or something like that.
So if somebody's listening to the show and they're like, oh, maybe not right now, today, but if they want to maybe the summer go find their corners, what's the process? What are they looking for? Is it going to be, a pot of gold on the corner of their lot? Or is it going to be that they need to go out with a metal detector and look for some sort of monument? Or
sure. Yeah, great question. So immediately when somebody calls, I look up their property and I find their record plat. And in the record plat, you'll see a legend that says exactly what was set at that time. And, typically, if it's within the last, 40 years, an actual lot itself will have a rebar and cap set with the surveyor that set it at that time. And it'll have sometimes lot descriptors, the LS number of the surveyor, possibly lot descriptions. And Sometimes you may be looking at, you know, if you're in the corner of a subdivision, something a little bit larger magnitude, like a 3 1/4 inch monument, which, you know, and sometimes, you know, those get covered with dirt and leaves, and they're just simply hard to find. So, yeah, you'll definitely, what you said, want to have a metal detector on hand and a shovel. Those are kind of our main tools that we use, honestly. Even though we have all these fancy GPS equipment tools, we still use, you know, rag tape and a shovel and, you know, caveman tools, I like to call them. So
officially treasure hunting.
Yeah, yeah. And it's, yeah, it is fun in a sense to go find this treasure.
Yeah, one of we have two that we've made a run at more than once in our yard, and who knows what happened. We have not. They are a mystery to be solved by someone else because we cannot find ours.
And I think if you're going to sell your home, you haven't had a survey done, at least go figure out where your corners are at, because it sucks getting into a transaction and then, you know, halfway through it, we get the survey and then the fence is all over both sides of, you know, the property line, the septic's on somebody else's, mm-hmm. the house is encroached. Corner of the house is encroaching, deck is encroaching.
We run into decks a lot with setbacks that they don't realize because they build their own decks and then they don't realize they have a setback and then they end up having a brand new deck that's right. not in the right spot.
Sheds are utility easements and just all sorts of crazy.
Yeah, in my experience, the biggest offenders, if you will, are the larger parcels. You'd think it would be like a city lot that's, you know, 50 or 60 feet wide. No, it's actually the lots that are 1 or 2 acres in size when people, you know, they just think they own all this land. Well, no, actually, your lot line is, like you said, your deck is, like, right there, and you're within the setback all of a sudden. So, yeah, those are some things.
We had an interesting one. It's a person that's in the real estate industry, not a realtor, but very involved in the real estate industry, and he built one of his rental income properties completely in the road easement. He had to move the entire property.
Yeah,
and he was a very knowledgeable, you know, he practices in the field, and mm-hmm. somehow he had
luckily
his
it was new construction, it was post on pad, so it wasn't horrible to lift it and move it back. But yeah, he built it and cheaped out and didn't get a survey and built it in the
whole house,
the right of way.
Yeah, and, you know, and sometimes, you know, I'm not recommending you always get a survey, but you should certainly fully understand where you're at relative to your lot lines, you know, and, you know, like I said, sometimes all it takes is a rag tape and a metal detector, but you know, if you're in a heavily wooded area, it's easy. And if there's even a slight slope involved, you know, everybody thinks the slope is due south, you can get disoriented. Even I'm myself guilty without having the proper tools. You can just get disoriented within like 20 feet of stepping inside your lot. It's real easy to do. So,
well, and your job must become much more difficult with our weather situation. Winter can't be a wonderful time to be doing some of the things you have to do before you can even do the office work that's behind the scenes.
Correct, yeah. We typically survey up to about maybe 20 below, even though, you know, on certain cases of emergencies, we always have the got to close by Christmas thing. That's the classic line. And so we're like, okay, we'll go do it, you know, if it's 30 below. I used to have other realtors, you know, that were desperate call, and I said, okay, I'll make you a deal. If you go out with me at 30 below zero, I'll do it.
I was thinking about that earlier today. I was like, God, do you guys, is there a 30, 40, 50 below cutoff? It can't be fun.
20 below, he said. Unless you're very, very nice to him.
Yeah, our fingers don't like anything less or colder than 20 below. And you know, the equipment, we do our data collectors that run in sync with the GPS units. They're basically little tablets. They're kind of heavy-duty tablets. So, you know, the screen will eventually start to get cold, and you know, you want to bring it inside the truck.
I'm amazed they work that well, because I've been at outdoor sporting events for the kids, and my phone will just stop working.
Right.
You know, it just says, sorry, no more. So I'm amazed that you're able to use your equipment that, even get it to go that long.
Oh, yeah.
When we come back from the break, maybe we can talk a little bit about new construction and what a plot plan and as-built, and just talk a little bit about that, or somebody's buying a lot that they need to clear, and talk about some of those things. And you guys do a lot more than just mortgage surveys, so we want to be sure to cover everything you guys do.
Sounds good.
We'll be right back after this short break, and we'll continue our discussion with 3-Tier Alaska.
Alaska Realty Today with Kirk and Lisa Maynard returns right after this on 97.5 FM KFAR Radio.
How do you get the smoking best deal in town on just about anything? On 50-50 Fridays. Duh, that's how. 50-50 Fridays partners together with your favorite local merchants to bring you great new deals of half-off savings. Simply go to this station's website and click on the 50-50 Fridays button at the top of the page to see what new deal is being offered each week. Get ready to score your half-off deals on such items as dining out, entertainment, services, activities, events, and even more. Shop 50-50 Fridays. You'll spend less. You'll have more. And even if it isn't Friday, be sure to check back with the 50-50 Fridays page regularly, where you can discover unclaimed half-off deals that may still be available. Every 50-50 Fridays week, you'll hear about the upcoming offer daily on 8 of the most listened to radio stations in the interior. Can your business benefit from a week of saturated, enthusiastic promotion on 8 radio stations? The answer is yeah, it sure. Why wouldn't it? Talk to us. 50-50 Fridays, brought to you by the radio station, your local family of radio stations.
Hi, this is Kirk and Lisa Maynard with Next Home Arctic Sun Realty.
We've been handling residential, commercial, and property management in Fairbanks for decades.
And nobody knows the market better.
Selling season is here, and the time to sell your home is now.
Here at Next Home Arctic Sun Realty, we offer exceptional visibility through high-end photography, along with Matterport 3D tours to showcase each home.
And each office is independently owned and operated.
So call us today, 456-4653.
Or online at nexthomearcticsun.com.
Spend your Saturdays with KFAR Radio for local programs, starting with Alaska Realty Today from Next Home Arctic Sun Realty at 11 a.m. The Buzz at 11:30, a look at Alaska's budding new industry, brought to you by Good Titrations, followed by Health Talk with Dr. Scott Looper from White Spruce Medical at noon. Then it's the Compos Outdoor Show at 12:30. And don't miss Fairbanks Foodies at 5:30, talking everything food and fun in Fairbanks. Weekends just got local with KFAR Radio. Now, we return to Alaska Realty Today on KFAR Radio. Brought to you by Next Home Arctic Sun Realty. Now your hosts, Kirk and Lisa Maynard.
Welcome back to Alaska Realty Today, and we're going to continue our discussion with Three Tier Alaska.
Thanks again for coming in. Sure appreciate your time. So if I'm listening to the show and I'm thinking about building this next spring, I'm going to want to identify a lot. There's a good chance that it hasn't had a survey, or it's not. It's probably had a survey at some point, but it's just maybe been a long time. And we're just talking off the air, and you said on the air too what your cutoff is. So minus 20 or ish.
Right. Yeah. You know, we kind of play it by ear, but 20 below is usually kind of like, you know, can we wait a week? Is it going to be 20 below for 2 weeks or, you know, 2 days? We kind of play it by ear to, you know, see what the most efficient thing is to do.
So if you're gonna buy a lot and build, please make sure you get a survey. Wait for it to warm up. Don't push off closing if you have to, and get your survey done. It's just, you don't want any surprises when you start building your house.
Right.
So what does the contractor do? How do they get a hold of you? They want to, you know, the I'm assuming the lender is going to require a plot plan. Where's the foundation going to be? Where's the driveway? Where's the septic system going to be?
So there's a couple different ways that we can do that for a particular homeowner or contractor. One, I just simply recommend having a stake out the lot lines. We go out there, identify where the property corners is. If they're gone, we can set them, and then we can set lath on the line, property line, and you can just simply pull your own tape to get, you know, centered in the lot and determine where you want your septic is and all that. Two, certain banks in town here, they like to require a initial as-built survey or mortgage location survey, just simply to see if you in fact put the foundation in the right place. And then at that point, you know, you're only vested the cost of the foundation, even though it's already kind of up there. So that's why I recommend getting the lot line staked out first. That way you don't even get in that pickle. And then, so what happens is, say we go do a preliminary as-built survey or mortgage location survey, and everything's fine and dandy. Then, you know, later that summer, you finish building your house, you're ready for your, quote, final plot plan or mortgage location survey. These are all the kind of the vernacular here that go on in the field, or the calls that we take in. So then we go out, and so the final plot plan is sometimes a hard pill for people to swallow because it's an additional cost. We go out and we locate other accessories to the property, such as driveways, sheds, fences, power, septic systems, a well or water holding tank, and to make sure everything's located effectively on the lot and you're not in a building setback or in an easement or right away, like you mentioned earlier. Those are all things that we see, you know, maybe not all the time, but they do come up fairly more frequently than you think. And it's very costly to get out of that. And Kirk, you said you were in the planning department. You yourself have probably seen many cases where you see lot line shifts or right away vacations or public utility easement vacations. And, you know, it's just, it's a long road. And if you do this and you try to sell your house later on, it's several months and several thousands of dollars to get out of that.
A lot of time.
If it can be fixed.
And sometimes you have to get parties to agree.
That's
and
correct.
And that's sometimes cannot be the easiest thing to do. Well, it's always been that way. I don't understand, you know, and it's just a fact.
Yeah, parties, neighbors, you have the platting board, you have the platting officers. Staff to deal with. So yeah, there's a lot of, and then when I was on the platting board, yeah, we'd see a lot of them come back. So we're gonna send you back, rework it, redesign it, re-engineer it, come back to us with a different plan. Here's what we want to see, or the probably dealing with the platting officer at the borough that's gonna come make a recommendation. But yeah, we saw everything that wasn't a quick plat, so we'd see all the weird stuff.
Yeah, we try to work out all those kinks before we actually go in front of the platting board these days. And you know, we also try to accommodate the best wishes of the owner, because that's ultimately who we're working for, and trying to get them what they need to, you know, happen, whether it be dividing their own land or, you know, if they have an encroachment, like you said earlier, you know, doing what's best and what's going to work with working under the Title 17 code. That's the borough code. It's the very peculiar set of rules that we the public has to go by. Yeah.
Can we jump in a little bit into what else you all do? Because you're an engineer, you're a civil engineer, but I do know that you do more than just mortgage.
Sure.
Surveys.
Yeah. These mortgage location surveys, they're just you know, a small drop in the bucket for what the term, quote, survey means. Real recently, we were actually doing a couple of design surveys for new commercial properties that were in town. So we actually go figure out what the existing conditions are, and that's topography, utilities, and then we actually take that as a blank slate, and then we place the structure on it and try to accommodate all the utilities, the grades. We apply asphalt and concrete to that, you know, to make it look nice. And sometimes we even do landscaping. We're not landscape architects by any means, but yeah, we've been asked to place trees here and there. We also determine where right-of-way is. We work with utility companies a lot in town here, and we determine where the edge of the right-of-way is and the easements, where they can go place their utility. We do grading. You know, we also do site design. We've had a couple people come to us now in Fairbanks. You know, we're left with a lot of these challenging lots to build on. So, you know, these people, they're faced with these, you know, 20% grades.
Cliffs.
cliffs, if you will. And so we're able to, you know, see what the best approach for a driveway is, and tell them what the grades will be without just taking a dozer out there and winging it. And
also the ability to maybe give them some sort of a yard if they have, you know,
exactly.
Family, because there's some houses we show, and if you put a playset on it and that ball gets kicked, it's like four houses down the hill.
Yeah. Yes, exactly. And we can plan where your well or water holding tank relative to your wastewater system is going to be, and make sure you're complying with all the appropriate setbacks, and just make sure it's going to work. You know, make sure you can back a truck up to your water holding tank if you're up in the hills and you choose not to do a well.
And so we've seen some people that have watched some videos and decided to do something on their own and think they can do it, and they don't think of the professional logistic things that come immediately to your mind. Well, how am I going to get the water from the water tank to the other water tank? We've seen some interesting solutions in some of the homes that they've not used a professional to make a plan that will work for everyone.
Yeah.
So a common reason that people avoid buying a house is the steepness of the driveway. And, you know, if the kids are out there playing in helmets and ropes and stuff because they live on a cliff, do you guys take existing homes and can you work with an existing home to maybe redo a driveway to make it more palatable for somebody who wasn't born and raised here and
thinks it's totally normal?
Yeah, we could easily retrofit an existing driveway. That's no problem. It's funny you mentioned driveways even, because that's been a subject of what is a driveway that's too steep? And honestly, I didn't really know. I mean, I know what the borough code is for a road, which is 10%, but a driveway, you could easily get to be much steeper than that. And so I had what I thought to be a brilliant idea was I actually called a fuel company in town. I happen to know the owner, and I said, hey, what are some of the driveways that you don't like going up? And so they actually called and called me back and gave me some addresses, and then I was able to analyze those driveways and like, okay, they're thinking like anything over 18% is pretty challenging. And crazy enough, that some of those driveways were over 20%, which is nuts. That's just crazy.
You're skiing.
Yeah.
There's a number of homes that I've been on a showing by myself. Usually Kirk and I show all our properties together, and I look and I drive an Excursion. I look and I'm like, I look again. Yeah. I park on the road and I will walk myself all the way down or all the way up to the property, depending on it, because I'm like, I don't want to be that person to get stuck in someone's driveway.
Oh, yeah.
It just, I mean, I just eyeball it and I'm like, nope, that's not.
No yeah, way. We had the one where it was that situation. The realtor got stuck and then the person pulling him out got stuck and then the tow truck got stuck, and then they finally had to get some crazy big semi thing to undo, take the tow truck and the two vehicles.
That wasn't our listing, though. It was a realtor in our office that had this experience. So.
Yeah, well, it's not your driveway. You're just trying to, you know, facilitate what's going on there.
What do you guys do in terms of I'm just peeking over at your septics? I'm sure. I'm assuming we see three-tier come through for septic designs.
Yeah, so
that's got to be a common one for our listeners.
We have engineers on staff that design a good amount of septics, whether it be a conventional system or an alternative design. We do a good amount of those. So even if you are hooked up with a certified installer and you have to build the system that's either A, above ground because of grade issues, let's say, or let's say you're on permafrost or any impermeable layer, you'll need an engineer to help design that for you and make sure it's going to work according to DEC standards there.
And that's a great service because one thing we're starting to see, I mean, permafrost we're aware of and, you know, the raised systems we're aware of, but up in the hills, we're running into groundwater now. And that's new within the last 2 to 3 years. We've seen, you know, you're up in the hills, but they're hitting groundwater when they're trying to move the septic. Oh. And that's been something that's becoming more and more common, and you know, a lot of things are changing in our environment,
right?
And we're all aware of it.
And who did we have on the show? But basically, North Pole, you shouldn't have anything but a mounted system.
Goldstream
Technical
Services. He said, if you don't see a mounted system,
it's a flag.
It's a flag that you should do a lot of homework. He's not saying everyone has to have it, but it means you should do a lot of homework before you move down that path.
Right. Yeah. You can sometimes get it minimized, such as adding foam insulation to your mound. So instead of a 4-foot mound, you can just have a 2-foot mound with 4 inches of foam, 2 inches of foam.
But it's a good heads up that people need to do. This is another aspect of being in real estate. They need to get with a professional and do their homework and understand what's going on.
Right.
Thank you so much for coming on. I'm so sorry we're running out of time. The show goes so fast. Real quickly, you have percolation and sample analysis for soils. That's a big one.
Yes.
We don't have time to talk about it. Water sample testing and analysis. If you guys are listening, those are very common real estate needs.
Is there a website they can reach out to you at?
Yes, 3tieralaska.com. That's the number 3tieralaska.com.
Thank you so much for joining us today. We really appreciate it. And everyone go enjoy their Saturday and stay tuned for The Buzz.
You have been listening to Alaska Realty Today on KFAR Radio and streaming live at KFARradio.com. To hear this program or past episodes, simply log on to KFAR.com and click the Archives tab to find Alaska Realty Today with Kirk and Lisa Maynard from Next Home Arctic Sun Realty, right here in Fairbanks. This has been a presentation of KFAR Radio, produced by Glenn Anderson, a Last Frontier Mediactive production.